Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. And as always, what a blessing it has been being in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 8 down to verse 23 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4. If you would stand with me, if you're able to, and we'll read the Word of God as I read, you follow right along with me. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, and he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Verse 23. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. It shall be well. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, that we have your word to read and study and be blessed by. And Lord, as we've just read this passage of scripture, I believe you have a message for us. You knew who would be here and what kind of spiritual needs would be represented. And I just pray, God, that each and every one would open up their hearts and minds to receive what you have for them individually and then for us as a church. Pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It shall be. That's important, that it's just not it will be, but it shall be well. this Shunammite woman believed this. The more you read and study and about what God has revealed to us about the Shunammite woman, there's no doubt in my mind, and as I was preparing to preach this message, that probably stood out more than anything. She truly believed this. I got thinking, when we face the harsh realities of life, well, life can be harsh. It really can. We know not what a day may bring. But when we face those harsh realities of life, I ask myself, do I believe this? Look back over my life, and no doubt everyone here, the older you are, the more life you've experienced. And you go back over and you just look at all the harsh realities that you might have had to face. Did you have this truth to lean on? Do you have this truth today? You might know it, but do you truly believe it? It shall be. Not doubt my mind, it shall be. I truly believe this, it shall be. No matter what I'm facing, it's there. It shall be. Well, God has recorded this event in history, and think about it, it's 3,000 years ago in a little unknown place somewhere in Israel. A woman of substance, prophet of God, traveling by. God recorded it. And we have it today to be blessed by. Let me give you three thoughts and three points here this morning on this. And first of all, the woman who made the statement. How was she able to do this? The testing of the statement. Contentment, and then her faith to apply it over and over again. See, once you have learned this, you'll have it for the rest of your life. Because the longer we live, the more harsh realities of life we have to face. So first of all, the woman and what God has recorded here. This is all that, this thought, it shall be well. And knowing that she believed this, and this is what God gives us to understand. How did she get to that place? What's going on in this woman's life? Well, the first thing, and of course, the woman is described a lot in what's taken place in her life in verse 8 down to verse 13. The first things we find the scriptures tell us about this woman was that there was a great woman. Now, if you would study this and understand just what this would mean in English language today that it's been translated into, that word great would be a woman of wealth. But the most important thing is blessed by God. The first thing we find about this woman is that she was blessed by God. The thing that we need to have if we are going to get to this place in our lives, to no matter what kind of harsh realities that we have to face, that we'll be able with confidence in our own spirit say, it shall be well, is the blessings of God. That's the only thing that could give us that kind of peace. That's the only thing that could give us that kind of assurance that we can truly believe it. verse 8, it goes on. In verse 9, it says that she constrained this prophet of God, this Elisha, as he passed by, to turn in and eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive." She didn't take her long. She wanted to be around this man. She was going to feed him just coming through. That was just hospitality. But now that she has spent a little time with him and getting to understand a little bit more about this man, she said, "I perceive that this is an holy man of God." That's important as well. She knew God. She, I believe, as we continue to study here, she knew that everything that she had was a blessing of God. God had worked in her life, and she knew God, and not only did she know God, she had spiritual discernment to determine that this was a holy man of God, worthy of support, basically. She had spiritual discernment. Can I tell you that this is made available to all believers today? And you have to have spiritual discernment to be able to truly believe that it shall be well. Because there has to be something working in our spiritual lives that's going to be able to minister to us, that will make sure that no matter what it is that I have to face in life, that it will be all right. That comes from the spirit. That does not come from the flesh. The flesh, if allowed go, will panic and do all kinds. But from the spirit, we can find this peace that passeth understanding. From the spiritual, we can find something that is not available to us in the natural realm of things. For if all we have to look to is the natural realm of things, there's many things that would totally devastate us. But she had spiritual discernment. Seeing that, she was able to say, this is not only a man of God, this is a holy man of God. Hebrews in chapter 5 tells us what we can have, how we can have discernment, spiritual discernment. I believe it's very important. I believe it's offered through the Spirit today. If you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells within you. And if you learn how to yield to the Spirit of God and receive the truths of the Spirit of God that He wants to continually put in your heart and place on your mind, then you can have discernment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So he's talking about those that are saved and we're babes, and we don't necessarily have a spiritual discernment when we're babes in Christ. But the Bible says, but strong meat that God has for us belongeth to them that are of full age. Belongeth to those that are mature in their belief and mature in their faith. Even those, and this is how you mature in your faith, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So as we take advantage of the opportunities that God has given to us to learn and to grow in our understanding and knowledge of the Scriptures and the workings of God and understand the indwelling of the Spirit of God in us, and we continually look to Him and cry out to God and experience certain things, can I tell you, it can help us to eventually get to the place where I can discern good and evil. I can know when it's Satan attacking me, and I can understand when God is testing me, and I can learn from this and I can learn from that. And if I know it's the devil, I know how to overcome him. If I know it's of God, I know how to yield to whatever that might be. Spiritual discernment is something that goes along with being able to, with confidence, say, "It shall be well." Shall be. Then we find that, go back to our text, it's telling us a little bit more about this woman. She sought to use her substance to be a blessing. She was a great woman. She had substance. She understood God had blessed her, and it was more for just her own comfort. Her life was more about than just herself. And she knew, if God blessed me, then there's something that he wants to use me to accomplish. He wants me to be able to use whatever he has given to me for the furtherance of whatever his purpose would be. So she sought to use her substance. Once she understood this was a holy man of God, then she would influence her husband to use their substance to be a blessing. Meaning that she understood that she was a steward of God's. As a steward of God's, then God has blessed us to be a blessing. Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6. You have to know how this woman got to this place. The Bible helps us to understand that. And it's something that all of us can get to that place. In Galatians in chapter 6, verse 7. See, she had discernment. That's important because our giving needs to be with discernment, spiritual discernment. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, I'm just out for my own comfort and for my own pleasure. God doesn't bless us just for our own comfort and pleasures. He blesses us to be a blessing. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit. Now I need discernment to know how to use my substance for spiritual purposes. To sow according to the will of God in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's blessings associated with that. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is blessings that are associated with being a blessing. And then he goes on to say, as we have therefore opportunity, as God opens doors. Do you think it was just a coincidence that Elisha went by her place, that was on his travel plans, and he would continue, and that she would have this insight, this spiritual discernment, to want to be a blessing to him, first of all, to feed him. And then when she realized the position that he had and the work that he was accomplishing, I want in on that. I want to invest in that. I want to be a blessing, even a greater blessing, and use whatever substance I have to be able to help him and be a part of the work of God. So as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We need to give with spiritual discernment and not waste. Because as God blesses us, Satan is going to try to rob us of the blessing that God has associated with him blessing us. And sometimes we don't use spiritual discernment and we give not necessarily as God wants us to give. And we give and waste our money on things that are not worthy. And sometimes we even try to work opposite God. Sometimes somebody is being chastened of God, and the devil uses you thinking you're doing good, but to give to somebody and to do something to someone with God's conviction and God's chastisement on their life, and you're wasting your substance. I hate to say it, parents, but too often we waste our substance on our own children. and not really children, but are adult offspring. They're not positioning themselves for God's blessing in their lives, and we use what God blesses us with to try to give to them, and it's a waste because we're working opposite God. It takes spiritual discernment to know how to give as God would have you to give according to His will. And as we have spiritual discernment and we use what God has given to us to further the cause of Christ and to be a blessing to others, then you'll find that there's something to that. There's blessings associated with that. But not in waste. Can I tell you that every one of us have opportunities? You have more than what you think you have, and you have a blessing for somebody. If you seek opportunity to give it. Amen. So go back. This woman, she sought to use her substance as a steward to be a blessing. That's what the Bible is revealing to us about this woman. And then after she did that, Elisha almost makes it seem like, well, you bless me just because you know of my connections, and you gave to me so that you're expecting me to give back to you. He might even be testing her here. I don't know all his mindset in this, but he's a name dropper here, I think. Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? You've blessed me, and I appreciate this, but did you do it because you knew that I know the king? And do you want blessings? Do you want political blessings? Are you looking for something like that? Do you want me to just put in a good word for you and toward the king that he might maybe cut you a little break on the taxes or whatever it might be? Or do you have an enemy here? If you have somebody that's hindering you and hassling you, or the captain of the host, do you need me to bring some warriors in, some soldiers in to protect you and to do whatever? I know him too. I can do that if that's what you're doing. Again, we find that, I don't know why, but he's presenting this. And now I do know why, because the Bible reveals it's we're going to see this later on as a test. It's part of God's going to test her. But her answer reveals a lot about this woman. I dwell among my own people, thank you. I didn't do it because of what you could offer me. I did it because God told me to do it. As a steward of the Lord's and seeking to be a blessing that God wants me to be, I did it because God led me to do it. See, living by these biblical principles, she had learned to be content. She acknowledged God. She had spiritual discernment. She sought to be a blessing. And in doing this, she had learned. I don't need anything you have to offer me. That's not why I live, and that's not why I did what I did. I dwell among my own people. I'm perfectly content with where I'm at and what I have. This woman had something that all of us ought to want. Because her contentment was based upon God's presence and God's blessings upon her life. Whether you know it, you're blessed of God. You might not have everything you want. We'll go on to see this as part of even her life. She didn't have everything she wanted. But she had contentment, which was a great gain for her. Hebrews in chapter 13. I'm telling you, this is why she was able to say that was an assurance, it shall be. She knew God. She had gained contentment because it was based upon her knowing God. Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't be looking to have what somebody else has. Don't you allow that to be part of why you do what you do and trying to be a blessing to someone else. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. I dwell among my own people, perfectly thankful and content with the life that God's given to me. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think she had that. So that we may boldly say, no matter what kind of harsh reality is the life that we are facing, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. For if we have that, I believe we'll be able to say, no matter what we have to face in life, what she said, it shall be. Not a question in my mind. Not a doubt. Because it's based on knowing God. That means if it's based on that, then what we find over in the book of Romans is so powerful. It's even more powerful. When the Bible, when Paul would write and say, for we know. It's based on God's promises, based on God's presence, it's based on God, God's blessings. Then I know. For we know that all things even the harsh realities of life, all things work together for good. To them that love God. I've got to know that I love God. I've got to know that I'm thankful to God. I've got to know that it is God who has blessed me. I have to know that his presence will never leave me. I have to understand these things. I have to have spiritual discernment. I have to have a desire to be used of God. Yeah. To them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. When you know that, I can know that all things work together. For good. What shall we then say to these things? If God, and this is what we should say, if God be for us, who can be against us? You and God are majority in every circumstance of life, in all harsh realities of life, if God be for us. He that spared not, he's even proved it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also? He's already given us his son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whatever that might be. In whatever situation you might find yourself. And if you know that, it shall be. So we find the testing of this woman. Go back there with me. Now that's what the Bible tells us about this woman. But there's a testing. Verse 14 down to verse 21. Verse 14, the Bible says, and he said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." She hadn't had a child her whole life. She wanted a child her whole life, but she had learned to be content without a child. "I dwell among them. I don't need anything." She had learned to be content without having all she might have wanted. Sometimes we think, well, the only way I'm going to be content is to have everything I've ever wanted. Or I will be content if I end up getting what I want. If I get this house, I'll be content. If I get this new car, I'll be content. If I get this whatever and this and that. Contentment is not going to be based on what you get. She learned to be content without having all she wanted. Not saying she didn't desire a son. She did. The test would come in with God giving her a son. God was testing her when her son died in her hand, in her own arms. It happened. They brought her son to her, probably an aneurysm. And her son died in her arms. She sat with him on her knees till noon, and then he died. You know, Elisha didn't even realize this. Elisha didn't know that this child was given to her to test her. Verse 27, if you look right there in 2 Kings chapter 8, the Bible says, "And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me.'" When God gave Elisha the peace to be able to tell this woman, "God's going to bless you with a son, and at this particular time of your life, you're going to give birth to a son," he did not realize what was going to be taking place, and that this giving her this son was going to be a test of her faith and contentment. It could have even been a test for Elisha. Because afterwards we find that Elisha goes overboard, does everything he can possibly do, not knowing if the child is going to live or die. And so it might have been that God was even going to test Elisha somewhere here. God has more than one purpose for whatever God allows in our lives. But we find here that this was going on. This child dies in her arms. Can you be content now? Do we have contentment if it can't hold up to a testing? Do you have faith if it can't hold up to a test? Remember as a teenager going to purchase my first car. Been working. I started working when I was 13. Worked a lot, trying to school and work and different things, making money. I saved up a lot of money at the time, and I was going to go buy a car. And I found the car that I wanted, at least the type of car that I wanted, a 64 Chevelle. And went over, and this man had it for sale. And fresh paint job, just a beautiful car. And I remember having the money, and I wanted to just give him the money. But my brother told me, he said, "No, you better test drive it." Well, the guy said, "No, He's too young. I'm not going to let him test drive it. God, give me the money. After you buy it, then you can test drive it. That's a red flag right there, right? But I was a young, and that was my first car. I thought, no, let me go ahead and buy it. I look at it. How can it not be a good buy? Look at this thing. It's an Earl Shive special is what it was. It just painted right over the rust, everything else. No sanding, just paint right over everything, you know. I didn't know that at the time. There was somebody with me with a little more wisdom. And so he finally realized when he was going to walk away from it, he said, all right, go ahead. I'll let you test drive it. he had started up and shut it back off. Well, I started it up and it run. I put it in gear and it died. I did this two or three times. Finally got it to where, you know, hitting the gas the way I was, got it running a little bit. It was backfiring. Got out there. The transmission was bad in it. It didn't have any brakes and everything else. I said, well, now I know why you didn't want me to test drive it. If I hadn't test driven it, I would not have known what it was. God tests us, not so that he might know. He already knows. God puts us through testing and God puts us through trials so that we might know what we have. The boy died in her arms. She didn't panic. She took the boy to the little apartment that she had made for Elisha, and she placed him on the bed that she had made for Elisha. And she went to get someone to take her to the man of God. And her husband said, what? It's not Sunday. And she said, it shall be well. I think she passed the test. She could not have known if this boy was going to come back to life. That's a physical impossibility. He died. She could not know what God would do. She didn't understand it all, but she had faith and contentment and knowing who God is. And when you know who God is and your contentment is based upon who he is, it shall be. Well, see, once learned, it can be applied over and over and over again. Sometimes my wife and I, as we pastor the church, and she's right there. I think more people talk to her than they talk to me most of the time. You deal with this person finding out that they have life-threatening cancer. And this person just lost a loved one. And this situation's going on, and this situation's going on, and that situation. Can I tell you, in this position, I couldn't handle it if I didn't know of the presence of God. Because I know without the shadow of a doubt in the presence of God, in every one of the circumstances, every one of the situations that we face, I can say this with assurance. I don't know how it's going to come out, but it shall be well. It shall be. I don't know all that God's going to do, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I do know that however God chooses, because who God is. If you know God, when you face something, the first thing is you can always have hope in asking. Shall be well, because I still have hope in asking. I'm going to go to the man of God, and I'm going to commune with the man of God, because that was her link to God. And I'm going to ask God to spare my son's life, if it be possible in his will. There's always hope. If it's based on the presence of God and his blessings, there's always hope. The second thing is, all things are possible with God. I know he can do it. And if he doesn't do it, even though he's already proven that he wants to give me all things, he gave me his son, how could he not want to give me all things? But it has to be within his will. So there's always hope. And the possibility is that God will do this, and that's how I'm going to pray, and that's how I'm going to trust until he reveals otherwise. And the third thing is, whatever God determines to be his will for me, I can expect his help. If God would have said no, and the boy would not have lived, she could expect God's help. But we find in verse 37, then she went in after Elisha had been used of God to bring life back to this boy's body. She went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground. She's worshiping God. She would have worshiped God either way, and took up her son and went out. And it was well. Contentment based upon God's presence and God's blessings will always lead us to say, it shall be well. And believe it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Sometimes we want to play God, and you can't play God. Sometimes you want to take on the burdens that only God can take on. Sometimes you want to control it, and you can't control it. Only God. Only God. But when you know him, and you have his presence and his blessings, you'll be able to say, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I do know this. It shall be well. Do you know God that way? Do you have spiritual discernment? Do you have a desire to be a blessing? Do you have God's favor? If you have God's favor, you can have this truth. It shall be. Well, Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for this truth of this passage of Scripture. And God, how you've allowed us to just to present truths and to preach on this. And I pray, God, that you would now apply it to each and every one of us here and have us, each one, see the need for what this woman had, and then do what we need to do in order to have it for ourselves and apply it over and over and over again. Blessing the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.